Welcome back. It is May 2nd, episode 44 of season 2, Let Me Be Frank podcast. Brian and Pete here with you. And if you couldn't tell already, it's allergy season, and I'm getting hit brutally hard right now.
It sounds great, Brian. The ladies love a raspy voice.
I appreciate it. We'll open up. NFL draft was obviously the biggest news of the weekend. Some may say LeBron's game 7 was, but we'll get there. Both our teams, I think, had a pretty good draft overall. Bears grabbing Roquan Smith in the first round and then addressing some other needs. The Packers trading down, then trading up to get Jair Alexander, who is a corner that can play where they need him to. Any big thoughts on the draft overall for our teams before we get into just other draft talk?
No, like I love the fact that the Packers got another first round pick out of the Saints. I think we set ourselves up pretty well for next year's draft. So I'm happy with it overall. And Roquan seems like a huge get for the Bears. Hopefully he can continue the tradition of excellence for Bears linebackers.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is he fills an immediate need. He's a polished player. He's not a project like they've taken in the past few drafts. You know what you're going to get with him. You know that he is an NFL-ready player. So that's the big thing. Bears also traded up in the second round to get wide receiver Anthony Miller out of Memphis. Had to give up next year's second-round pick with the Patriots, as Slick Bill does it again, to get more draft capital moving forward. But I was a little skeptical about the move, and then I saw Anthony Miller's Twitter of LeBron is a bum, don't at me, and I'm all in. I think the Bears are fully back at this point.
I think you're guaranteed to find a LeBron is a bitch slash Kobe. Like, you're either finding a complete like Kobe stan or just a guy who hates LeBron out of any like a draft pick out of anyone's old Twitter.
It's actually a very good point, because you rarely ever see the guys that are like fully on LeBron's team. It's always Kobe.
Yep.
Elsewhere in the NFL, Baker Mayfield goes number one, and a Cleveland radio host has to go eat horse shit somewhere. So I haven't seen if he's actually done it or not yet, but as a journalist, I think he should stick up and, eat the horse shit. It is a delicacy around there.
Yeah, and no one will care in Cleveland. He should invite anyone who ate shit during the parade. Just
a regular
ask for any tips on how to season it. I think he should be given the option to prepare it however he likes, but he has to eat it.
Like that idea. I think at the end of the day, he said he's going to do it, but he didn't say how it would be done. So, you know what, if he wants to cook it over a nice Cleveland fire or dip it in the river, whatever he wants to do, let him go after it.
Hey, you know what? And if he wants to pick and choose what the dog can eat beforehand and make the dog eat something that's non-digestible, like corn, and just wash off the corn and take that down, then I'll put more power to him.
Yeah, you know what? That works for me. The Browns also had the fourth pick, people forget sometimes, and instead of going with a guy like Bradley Chubb or Quentin Nelson, they ended up taking Denzel Ward, the defensive back from Ohio State. A little bit of a head scratcher, as John Elway gets probably the best player in the draft at the fifth pick, and this could very well backfire. Both picks could be awful for the Browns, but I think Baker finally breaks the mold, and I think Denzel Ward is going to be a really, really good defensive back in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm hoping Baker can avoid the, I don't know if I'm using this correctly, but the trope that he's just going to get compared to Manziel immediately, like whenever any story comes out of him going out to a bar or having any kind of...
Is that racist, though?
Any kind of beverage.
We need to ask the question, is it racist that he's getting compared to Johnny Manziel?
I'm not going to answer that question, but I will say that they do fit the mold. Like, Baker fits the Manziel mold, I guess, personality from afar, I guess. But I have more confidence that Baker has his partying side under control and will be able to be successful in the NFL. If he's not, the Cleveland will, he's just going to become the next name on that laundry list of names in the back of that jersey. But yeah. I have faith.
How long do you give Baker before you consider him a bust? Is it like 2 to 4 years? Does he play out his rookie deal, or when are you drafting the next quarterback if he doesn't work out?
I mean, they gave up on Kaiser like that.
Yeah, like, very quickly.
He's already a member.
Stunningly fast.
He's already a member of my Green Bay Packers, who quietly may be the heir to Aaron Rodgers.
The heir apparent.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'd give him 3 years at least. And like, it's weird with quarterbacks, whereas like guys like Ryan Tannehill or like, I feel like we give them such a long leash for such a long time.
How about Christian Hackenberg with the Jets? He's been there for what feels like forever and hasn't won anything. And they were just talking today that drafting Darnold should probably spell the end of the Hackenberg era. Like, no shit. Why you have Sam Darnold? Why would you need Christian Hackenberg ever?
The quarterback market in the NFL will forever baffle me on who gets paid and who doesn't make rosters.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. The rest of the top five, Barkley won number two. That was the only one we were missing. He went to the Giants, which was a little bit of a weird move, but go get the best player available, and that's what they did. Other quarterbacks drafted in the first round, Josh Rosen. Arizona moved up to number 10 to go snag him. Buffalo moves up to 7 to grab the looks good in shorts, Josh Allen, who can throw the ball a country mile and kill a man with a football, according to himself. And then at 32, the Ravens trade up to get Lamar Jackson, which I think was probably the best move for Baltimore. They needed a quarterback and they need a change of direction, and he provides both.
Yeah, and for Josh Allen, I think he landed in the perfect spot. Big hands, yeah. Being able to withstand the cold weather. And I also think this is the best thing possible for Bills Mafia, because I think they're going to try and kill them like themselves by just throwing footballs at each other as hard as they can.
I agree. I think it's going to do a lot for the tailgate scene.
And just try and test out Josh Allen's theory that you can kill a man with a football.
For sure.
So that'll be endless entertainment for us come next year.
Yeah. And then the last thing I'll mention, the feel-good story of the draft, Shaquem Griffin, one-handed man from Central Florida, was drafted in the fifth round by the Seattle Seahawks to go pair up again with his brother, Shaquille. And if that doesn't make you happy, I don't know what does. Somewhere, Pete Carroll found his heart stashed away with a bunch of empty Marlboro Red packs and a lot of Four Loko cans. And all of a sudden, he found his heart to go draft the guy and reunite him with his brother.
We had a pretty in-depth conversation about him a few months back, right? For during the combine, they were saying it was a hindrance or a performance enhancer to have a fake hand.
Yeah, because they put like a cup essentially over his hand, and it helps balance the bar.
Very unfair.
Plus, there's less body for the wind to drag, so he's more aerodynamic than every player out there. So he probably shaved at least a tenth, maybe two tenths of a hundredth or two hundredths of a second off his 40 time.
I mean, that's just science. I don't know if you can argue with that.
Absolutely. That's NFL talk for now. Unless anything big happens, we probably won't be talking about it again until the Hall of Fame game where the Bears and the Ravens, I think it's the Ravens, play each other.
Okay.
Moving on, NHL playoffs. Vegas is a fucking wagon. Winnipeg is shit pumping Nashville. Boston and Tampa Bay is a great series as expected. And Washington-Pittsburgh has been a really good series too. The Caps blew a 2-0 lead in game one and then held on. A couple calls may have helped them here or there, but you know what? It's a tie series after all. And what do you think of the NHL? I know you said you watched a full game for the first time in a long time the other day, so I just wanted to see how you feel.
I did. I watched game seven of the Bruins series. It was electric. And did you see... you said that the Caps got a few calls. You see the Nationals are selling tickets for 10:57 when they play the Pirates because the Penguins non-goal against the Caps.
That's a smart marketing move.
With it came with 10:57 left, apparently. That's the marketing scheme there. Brilliant.
I love it. This is the same Washington Nationals team that when I went to Washington, D.C., tried to buy tickets, was going to scalp tickets behind the plate for $20, said no. Or no, $30. He wouldn't go down to 20. So we went up to the box office. They said, tickets are $21. And then we showed our student ID and they're like, oh, you get 50% off. Or no, you get 30% off, but and the game's already started, so you get another 10% off. And we ended up paying $7 a ticket. I don't know how that happened, but we ended up getting $7 seats per person.
Beautiful.
But yeah, that's the NHL playoffs. I think Winnipeg Nashville is probably the best series right now. San Jose and Vegas have gone to overtime twice, including a double OT game. Toronto, Tampa Bay, or excuse me, Boston, Tampa Bay is a lot of skill. And then the Caps, you're just kind of waiting for the next shoe to drop with the Caps. But
What's your opinion on the mayor of Las Vegas banning the color teal during the series?
I think it is a direct attack in me and my people. Us colorblind folk cannot tell what teal is. So it's a little hurtful that he would really come out and say something like this. But I get it that it's one of the San Jose Sharks colors. The problem is you're in Vegas. If you can get like all the strippers and the dancers and everyone else to not wear teal for the entire series, then I'm all in. But if you can't do that, there's no point.
I can just imagine just arguing with a cop on the street like, this is cyan, this is not teal.
If you type it in on the color hex, it is H31174 instead of 76, which is what teal is.
They have the like the cops are just walking around with those color books that people have.
They've just got swatches everywhere.
Yeah, SWAT. Yeah,
This
that's what they
doesn't
call
look right.
swatches. Putting up against shirts.
That would be incredible. Vegas
Literally,
PD, let us know if you need some help. I'll find some swatches for you.
quite literally profiling by color.
We'll move on. NBA playoffs. A lot going on. I alluded to the game seven. I'll just say, I'll get some of my thoughts out before I let you take over here. But the National Basketball Association is a completely and utterly fixed league. The officiating was horrendous. I'd be more happy if the league came out and said that officials were gambling on games again, because at least it would make sense. But to say that the officiating was anywhere near level or unbiased in that Pacers-Cavs game is straight tomfoolery. Two technical fouls on nonsensical plays that really weren't anything. LeBron flops his back, and apparently Bojan Bogdanovic is the strongest man on earth.
I always to your point, I always had that I always I believe I firmly believe that David Stern during his reign did nudge the referees to favor the Lakers during a few series during their run. So I this isn't as far-fetched as some people may react to this. I like to believe that Adam Silver is different and doesn't condone this
You know what, Pete? The guy's a penis and we're getting dicked down right now. That's what's happening. Us as fans of the league, that's what's happening here. I will say though, LeBron was outstanding in the first three quarters and then kind of disappeared in the fourth, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say either way. I want to think that they don't, but refs are always going to favor star players, so LeBron's going to get those calls in game sevens, whether whether it's right or it's obviously not right to favor a one player over the other, but I guess it's just how it goes in the NBA. But to the actual teams themselves, I think the Cavs are going to get absolutely destroyed by the Raptors as much as LeBron has owned them in the past. I think this year it's just LeBron and a ragtag group of role players who've never played outside of Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson, who've never played meaningful basketball games.
See, I think the opposite. I think the Raptors are going to get destroyed by the Cavs. I feel like they don't have anyone even in the same realm of LeBron in terms of defending him. He can just go off for 40 plus every night and win him the series.
Now he can do that, but as it happened with the Pacers, they were barely winning against the Pacers even when he would have 45, 10, and 10 games.
But yeah, I
And
mean that kind of goes to my point though. Like the Pacers didn't have anyone that can match up with LeBron. They'd throw Thaddeus Young, they'd throw Bogdanovich on him. They'd occasionally throw Oladipo or Lance Stevenson, but Lance plays the most ridiculous rotation minutes I've ever seen. It's either in spurts of a million or none at all. And no matter what though, like LeBron got whatever he wanted. He was backing down, like he took it personally on Lance to just single-handedly back him down dribble by dribble from the three-point line to the rim and then hit a layup.
I mean, yeah. So, and what I'm saying with the Raptors is that I think home court advantage is going to come back to bite the Cavs in the ass because they are not going to have a game seven at home, and they needed home court advantage in this series. They got their ass kicked,
Yeah.
and at least in one of the away games, because they have a bunch of role players who don't have any experience in the moment, who very. I mean, it's understandably they play well at home. In the playoff atmosphere and kind of shut down on the road because, and this team doesn't have someone like Kyrie as a second fiddle to be a guy who can put up at least 25 regardless or of any game. Like you can ask them to put up numbers for you. So I feel like the home court advantage is going to bite them in the ass. And two, the fact that the Raptors go legitimately 11 deep on their roster. It's going to cause a bunch of problems because LeBron, anytime LeBron sits, Toronto's bench mob, it reminds me a lot of the Bulls bench mob from, I think, 2011, 2012.
R.I.P.
Yeah. They got like DeLon Wright, Jakob Poeltl, all those guys, they can come off the bench and score in bunches. And I think they're going to take advantage of the very thin Cavs team. So I don't see it ending well. The only way I could see this, going the Cavs' favor is just that if DeMar and Kyle Lowry continue, I mean, their past tendencies show that the Raptors will choke and lose a series to LeBron because LeBron owns them. But I hate being the guy. You always wonder the guy who says, "Okay, I'm picking LeBron until he fails me." But I think this is the year. I just don't think their team has enough firepower around them.
See, I'm going to do the exact opposite and I'm going to take LeBron, despite the fact that I can't stand him. I will, however, go out on a limb and say that game seven was the Tristan Thompson game and not the LeBron game.
I agree with it. I mean,
He
when you
was.
get put on a shelf for six games and then just get unleashed against people who played six games in a row.
He was unreal. Oh, Miles Turner was actually really good for the Pacers too. He just picked up some ticky-tack fouls that were nonsense. But c'est la vie. Victor Oladipo is a star in the making, and the Pacers might actually be like a solid team to compete with moving forward.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I think they have a bright future. And you know what? Maybe playoff P comes back to Indiana,
Oh God.
seeing the roster they have.
The best thing he ever did was leave that team for the Pacers. That was the best thing that ever happened.
And I just hope that Lance Stevenson stays with the Pacers for the long term because he's will not be successful on any other team.
He hasn't been successful anywhere else other than Indy. So I don't see him wanting to leave unless he's asking for like 14 million a year, which he might. You never know.
Lance, I can't even imagine how much Michael Jordan hated Lance while he was in Charlotte, and
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad he's back with Larry Bird and the Pacers.
There you go.
What did you think of Russ's performance in Game 6 against the Jazz and Donovan Mitchell calling a shot after Game 5?
It was kind of what I expected. I wanted the ball in his hands that many times. I wanted him taking that many shots. The problem is when you have a guy who nicknames himself Playoff P and then forgets
Disappears.
how to play in the playoffs. That's the problem. And then you have a guy named Melo who sucks balls and all he does is tear apart good teams. Then you're in real trouble. But I mean, I don't know how many chances OKC could have had at the end of that game to tie. Paul George was 100% fouled on that last shot, but at some point, I mean, I'm kind of happy the refs swallowed the whistle because how many chances do you need to hit an open three? They had like 15.
Yeah, and Melo's down like complete collapse as a serviceable NBA player. I won't say serviceable, just out of respect for you, Brian. I won't even say good. All right.
Yeah, he's not serviceable. He's
Yeah,
not
so
even at that.
I'm saying his collapse
You
from
know
being
how
even
in 2K
serviceable.
back in the day you used to be able to change a guy's role from like role player or prospect or whatever? He is a
Melo.
bench warmer.
He's
That's what
benchwarmer.
he is at this point.
And I'll throw out a stat for you right now that you'll love. The Melo, out of any player in the NBA who qualified for starters minutes, which was 30 minutes per game or more, ran the fewest miles per game at 2.01 out of anyone in the NBA. And he was also the fourth slowest, just trailing, I think, like Pau Gasol, James Harden, and like Marcin Gortat. So he put in a lot of effort this year, I'll tell you that.
Of course, that's what he does. He is an effort machine.
And the Thunder have seemed to have backed themselves into NBA mediocrity. I commend Sam Presti for going all out for this one year to seeing they could the star power could challenge the Warriors or the Rockets. But all reports are saying that Playoff P is on his way out, and Melo is 100%
Who?
going to lock in that $28 million payday.
Who on earth would want Paul George, though?
I mean, he's still a top 15 player.
What is he in the playoffs, though?
For the okay, the
I'd
vast
take
majority.
Tristan Thompson over Paul George in the playoffs.
Here, I'll say this.
I'd take Kevin Love over Paul George in the playoffs.
Historically, Paul George has been a very effective player in the playoffs as a number one option.
He's not going to be a number one option no matter where he goes.
I think that's not true.
The LA Clippers is the only place I can think of where he would be the number one option.
The Lakers as well. He would be
Well,
number
LeBron's going to the Lakers, so he wouldn't be the number one option there.
one. That's what every Lakers fan wants to tell you. But we'll agree to disagree. But yeah, the Thunder just are they're going to be the same team that they were in Russ's MVP season for the next handful of years, and it's going to be a shame to watch Russ's prime go to waste on 45 win teams.
It's going to be great though, because he's going to win a bunch of MVPs and average a triple double for the next decade.
Yeah, that I think people are gonna look back at that in like 30 years and be like, "What the? How did this kid fucking do this?"
Yep. That's Russ though. Russ Westbrook.
Yeah, and so for the okay, so I'll get this out of the way. The Warriors are playing the Pelicans, and the Warriors are just going to absolutely destroy the Pelicans.
Steph is
They
back, right?
made light work of them in game one. Steph is coming back game two.
Christ.
You know what? More props to them for making the second round. It's all they wanted this year. AD is incredible.
I almost made a Katrina joke, but I held back.
Too
This
soon.
is kind of like a movie when you see like a tidal wave coming and there's nothing you can do. You just know you can't run anywhere. You just have to watch the water swallow you up and then drown you. That's what the series is like.
Yeah, they have no hope. As much as AD is going to be a matchup nightmare for them. Actually, no. Kevin Durant is probably the best possible defensive matchup for him, defensively. So,
Kevin Durant, what a guy.
yeah. So yeah, I'm thinking Warriors are going to win five in this series. But going to what I think is the most interesting playoff series is Sixers Celtics. Game one, Philly got outplayed by Boston and outcoached 117-101. Ben Simmons was getting the not a rookie chance. Marcus Smart was getting up in everyone's grill and seemingly re-injured his
not
hand.
A rookie is like really nice for Boston fans.
Yeah.
Stunningly nice.
Yeah.
Like, these are two cities that are like kings of shit talk, and that's all you get.
I mean, Boston is just obsessed with the fact that Jason Tatum is still 19 or just turned 20 years old. So I'll cut him some slack. But I'm really excited for the prospects of the rest of the series. Embiid should be able to impose his will down low against, unless Aaron Baines like just breaks his arm in half.
That is possible.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him. But guys like, it's just guys like Baines and Smart and Semi Ojeleye, however his last name is pronounced.
Yeah, Semi Ojeleye from SMU.
They're really, really scrappy guys, and I this is gonna get if it goes seven, this has the feel of the like the Bulls Celtics first round series from 2009 or 2008.
Yeah,
really scrappy between the two teams, and just the fact that it's between Philly and Boston, I could see this being one of the, like the best scrappy series we've seen in a long time.
That would be something. We kind of earned it after how boring that game seven was.
Oh, I mean, you knew like Joe Prunty versus Brad Stevens coaching. Like,
yeah,
we underestimate the amount coaching has an effect in these games. So, I mean, there's never a doubt.
Yeah. I mean, you're putting up a I would say future Hall of Fame coach against an accountant to see who can win. And it's not even close.
And scary Terry Rozier is just making himself a boatload of money. And also just being the king, being an absolute shit talker the entire way. Eric Bledsoe's career has been buried after Terry wearing the Drew Bledsoe jersey. I think he's buried. I don't think you could say anything more. Bledsoe's done.
Yeah, it's a tough look to say the least, but who knows? Who knows? It's going to be a fun series. It actually makes me interested in the NBA again. And if the Cavs lose, I'll at least have one correct pick so far. Two, actually. One completely, and then half of the other.
And then last series, Rockets Jazz. I'm expecting Rockets in six. Donovan Mitchell might pull some magic out. But the offensive onslaught that's going to come from Houston is, I just think it's going to be too much in the end for the Jazz.
Yeah, it's all defending James Harden, and I don't really know that they have anyone that can match up with him.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Ingles, I don't know who he's going to guard on Houston. He got in
Joe
playoff.
Ingles doesn't know who he's going to guard.
Yeah. He got in Paul George's face for one game during that Jazz series, but we'll see if he can continue to do that in this series. But yeah.
Probably not, but we'll see. Yeah, so we'll move on from the NBA. The Kentucky Derby is this weekend, everyone's favorite horse racing event. Go ahead.
Last note, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is on Dance of the Stars, and he is just Slender Man on a dance floor.
Is he smooth and sliding out there?
He was way better than I expected, to be quite honest. But he must be 7'2", 130 pounds. There's no.
I'm sure he is, just skin and bones out there.
But he's 72 and he's still putting some moves out there. So good for him.
That guy, what a guy! Like I was just saying, Kentucky Derby this weekend. They drew the pole positions or the positions for the gates today. Tuesday, so yesterday, if you're listening, the odds-on favorite Justify at 3-1 got the 7 gate and is looking to be the first horse since 1882 to win without racing at all as a 2-year-old. Other than that, there's another horse in the race who I think is 7-1 odds to win that also didn't race as a 2-year-old, and then we've got a bunch of long shots in this one. So this kind of screams like a Kentucky Derby in the past where we just have a random ass horse that comes out of nowhere to win.
Yeah, as a betting man, Brian, who do you have your money on here?
It's too soon. It's too soon to tell. We had a horse scratch already from the race. I will mention its name in our top five, but ever other than that, I think you got to throw on the board or across the board on the favorite, and then take a couple of long shots to win place show, and then obviously a box exacta or trifecta.
I'm looking at my boy Jack, and I just really love the name. And at 30-1 odds right now, just really calling my name.
That's it. This podcast will bet on my boy Jack.
Are you heard it here first?
Yep. If he wins, we're gonna be rolling in it. But yeah, the Kentucky Derby, it's always a great time. Great people watching. And then everyone gets to sing My Old Kentucky Home, which is a jam that people forget about. Song slaps, if you will, Pete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And you get to see people pull out all the stops for the over-the-top seersucker.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we'll move on, like I just mentioned. Top five is horse names. I will let you go first here, Pete. What do you got?
All right, so starting at five, I have Firenze Fire, just Fire, Fire. I think it's a very strong name. Second one here, Bold Ruler. Any name that makes the horse sound like it's better than me, I really appreciate. Like Sir anything or Count anything. Anything that gives them a title that makes them higher than me. Following up with this at number three, Judge Himes.
All right.
Yeah, self-explanatory. Two, Thunder Gulch.
Yes, I remember that one.
Incredibly strong name. And number one, simple, straight to the point, Big Brown.
Big Brown. It lets you know what it's there for.
Yep.
All right.
What do you have?
My number five is Horse Washington. Just a very strong horse name. Number four is I'll Have Another.
Great
people,
one.
People forget that one. Number three is the horse that was scratched, Gronkowski. Named after and owned by Rob Gronkowski.
I forgot that he owns part of that horse.
Number two is Scat Daddy. Ew. And number one is Irish War Cry.
All-time name.
Yes. So those are our favorites. We used some personal ones and then others that were former racehorses. But let us know yours at LMBF Sports, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We'll move on to our stats. Pete, what do you got?
All right, I have two, both being hockey.
All right.
Golden Knights have scored more goals 12 minutes into round two than the Kings had against them in the entire first round.
Yeah, that's a tough look.
Yeah, sorry, LA. And then despite having never won a Stanley Cup, former St. Louis Blues coaches are responsible for 40% of the Stanley Cups won since 1967.
That is awesome. Truly exceptional.
Anything that makes St. Louis fans suffer, I'm for.
Cannot stand those fucks. So I'm going to go. My stat is, well, one of them was the that no horses won not racing during its two-year-old year since 1882. That's just, you know, a fun little horse racing tidbit. Also, the Cubs are 16-10 in first place. Anthony Rizzo is only hitting 140.
It's scary.
Just letting everyone know that it's not over yet. They haven't even gotten started. And then the final one is that the line for the Cavs Pacers game was 4.5, and Victor Oladipo hit a last second three to cut the lead to 4. So anyone with Indiana plus 4.5 was exuberant. Then we'll move on to our tweets. I have a bunch, actually. My first one is the New Orleans Pelicans looking at the ESPN projection of their series against the Warriors. And it says, how come you don't want us, man, with a picture of all the people picking Warriors, and then Will Smith hugging Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince, which I thought was an incredibly smart tweet of them. My next one is Lane Kiffin just randomly tweeted out Fortnite the other day. So
he's just the title?
Just Fortnite. Okay, so well, he's staying in touch with the young kids.
That's a bold. I like that move, actually. Just keep tweeting out things that are topical with the young people.
Yeah, it's a smart move. they're like, oh shit, Coach Kiffin knows. Little do they know that he hasn't a clue what it is.
He's aware of the concept. He knows it exists.
Yep. There was a tweet that the world's oldest spider died, and Donovan Mitchell tweeted RIP to the OG.
Good. No, I'm glad it's dead.
Yeah, I agree. And then Dirk, after seeing Victor Oladipo text his trainer, when do we start, minutes after the loss to the Cavs, decided to do the same. The response, I don't believe this is real, but if it is, it's funny enough. So I told you 4 years ago that you were done 4 years ago. Your game has been in decline since Havlicek stole the ball from you.
Havlicek, come on.
Havlicek. Your full court sprints are timed with a calendar. That being said, if you wire me 561 Bitcoin, which is $5 million, we can start tomorrow. And Dirk replied, aggressive.
The Havlicek burn was pretty incredible.
It was.
And the your spin moves are timed with a calendar.
Yes. All right. What do you have?
Just getting roasted. That was actually one of mine, but I have one more. Bill Russell tweet at Charles Barkley saying, I know Charles would never say he could guard me. He has a better chance of getting struck by lightning.
Jesus Christ.
So Bill Russell, Twitter fingers at 74 years old, somewhat, whatever.
Hey, got to do you, right?
I mean, good for him. Bill Russell finally staying up for himself.
As we always do each week, Pete, what are you looking forward to this weekend?
I'm going to go pretty basic here and say the Derby. There's I'm with you.
Cinco de Mayo's this weekend, too.
True. I will be in Ames, Iowa for that.
No place screams Cinco de Mayo like Ames, Iowa.
I'm sure they'll have plenty of great deals there.
They will. Yeah. Just the best deals.
For the sisters' graduation, I'm sure it'll be fantastic.
It'll just be a blast. As always, you can check us out at letmebefrankblog.com, at LMBF Sports, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Any final words?
Nope. Let's go, my boy Jack. Bet him.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Right here, it's for all of the chicks right here that knew how to sing my shit right here. The lot of them sharing, you have no idea. And they all seem swelly, all seem ready. When you gonna come to my town already? Tell them in no time, had to grow time. Last year I had loans with a cosign. Now they say, Chitty, you are out of your mind. Once I get the green light, it's go time. And my outlook positive, pro time. But these niggas so soup like wine times. For the girls that be chilling all really. Smoke a little bit, they be feeling all silly. Fergie type chick, she a duchess. Tell her bring duchess. And she the one rolling on Philly, she a pop head. By your own tree, she got. Brad, we happy and we single and we color, but bang, bang, bang like Pop said. And I could get that to Pop Brad, not dead. By telling them girls to keep their head up. Know you got the night shift, know you so fed up. When I'm in city, I promise we might get up. So don't trouble me, need two cars, that's double V's. I'm in a hotel on the top floor, so come through and we'll smoke double tree. Love, we'll see, she comes first and I arrive. Sunshine, this little light of mine. February 14th, Valentine. And Chitty always gonna be by your side, by your side.